one of the major features of the time in this season around Purim is the concept of remembering Amalek, remembering what happened with Amalek. And in fact, alongside, actually preceding Purim itself, comes Parshas Zochor, which is dedicated essentially to the mitzvah of Zechiras, Ma'aseh Amalek. And I wanted to devote some of our time this evening, a good bit of time actually, to discussing the parameters of this mitzvah, because it's certainly a central theme within these days. I venture to suggest that although much of Zohar is quite well known, there is an equal amount, if not more, which is less well known. And in order to give us the broad picture with regards to this mitzvah. Of course, we begin in the beginning. The Torah itself mandates, by force of an asay and a los asay, to remember what happened with Amalek. Zochor eis asher asa lecha Amalek, that's a mitzvah asay. And at the end, the Torah says, lo tishkach, don't forget, that's a los asay. Two of the 613 mitzvahs are about remembering and not forgetting what happened with Amalek. And should we ask the question, how should we remember? That is to say, is there a specific form that this remembering takes? Well, the answer, as far as the Tosfos is concerned, is yes, there is actually a very specific form. Namely, say the Tosfos, twice actually, in Brochas and Daf Yud Gimel, and in Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin, that this mitzvah of remembering Ma'aseh Amalek needs to take the form of reading it from the Torah. And therefore, whereas as far as the Tosfos is concerned, most of Kriyas HaTorah on a weekly basis, or Shabbos, and Yom Tov, as far as Tosfos is concerned, that is Derabanan, to read from the Torah on those occasions. But to read at a certain point about Amalek from the Sefer Torah, that is actually the way that the mitzvah on a Torah level needs to be performed. And that's very interesting, of course. We're used to that. That's Zohar. We read from the Sefer Torah. But nonetheless, we need to ask. Amalek is not the only thing that needs to be remembered. There's a mitzvah of remembering Shabbos, and there's a mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Neither of those two mitzvahs, neither of those two rememberings take the form of reading about it from a Sefer Torah. Not at all. In Shabbos, it's Alayayin. That's its own dynamic, and remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, you talk about it, and we say it within the context of Kriyat Shema, but reading from the Torah per se, we never found it with regards to things that we have to remember. Why would we say that the remembering of Ma'aseh Amalek takes the form of reading from a Sefer Torah per se, specifically? And this question is addressed by many. First amongst them is the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says this actually seems to be explicit in the Talmud. And the way that it comes out, interestingly, is through another discussion. As we know, the Megillah, which of course needs to be read, and needs to be read from a kosher Megillah. If a person, as the Mishnah tells us, if a person read the Megillah by heart, he hasn't been yotzei the mitzvah. If he knows the Megillah by heart, good for him. If he reads the Megillah by heart, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah at all, which includes reading the Megillah from a non-kosher Megillah, from a Chumash and such like. And the Talmud asks the question, I mean, why is that so? Where do we know that it has to be read from a kosher Megillah? So the Gemara says, and this is very interesting, because where does the Megillah tell us to read the Megillah? As we know, there's a number of mitzvahs when it comes to Purim. Mishloach Mamnos, and Matanas Lev Yonim, and Mishteva Simcha, and, of course, reading the Megillah. Of all of those mitzvahs, reading the Megillah is the one least explicit in the Pasuk. The Pasuk doesn't say to read it in the Megillah. Where does the Pasuk talk about it at all? Well, in Perek Tes, which we took a look at last week, the pasuk towards the end of the perek says, "V'hayomim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim." These days are mentioned and performed. Says the Gemara, "Nasim," of course, are all of the things that we perform on Purim, all of the mitzvahs involving acts. Nizkarim, the remembrance, takes the form of, is a reference to the reading of the Megillah, and it's called Nizkarim. That's point number one, and how does that help us? Says the Gemara, because as soon as you say that, you say the word Nizkarim, that takes us straight back to the end of Parshas Beshalach, which is where the war with Amalek actually took place. And when it was told to be written down, the words are Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer, Besimba Osnei Yehoshua, etc., etc. And the Gemara makes a direct connection between the Nizkarim, of course the two are very much connected, between the Nizkarim, which is the Megillah, Nizkarim, the events of that conflict with Amalek, and the original Zikaron Basefer. Says the Talmud, just like the original Zikaron needs to be Basefer, so too the Nizkarim of the Megillah also needs to be Basefer, and read from a Sefer, that is to say, a kosher Megillah. That is the origin of the halacha, that the mitzvah of reading the Megillah needs to be from a kosher Megillah. Says the Magen Avraham, so if you look back to the source of that halacha, which actually is in the remembering of Amalek, you see that's where it all started. And the Torah says that has to be zikaron basefer, remembered in a sefer, and read as such. We even outsource halachas from there. We even derive halachas from there. Certainly that original context, we understand very well. It seems to be more or less black and white now. In the Torah, that zikaron basefer, that is the way to remember Amalek. And that's why this remembrance, why we say that this remembrance is different than the other remembrances, that you can talk about it, but you don't have to read about it from the Torah. And this position of Tosfos is codified by the Shulchan Aruch in two places, actually, in the halachas of the Arba Parshas and the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. The Shulchan Aruch says that reading of Zohar from the Torah is De'oraisa. That is to say, in order to fulfill the mitzvah De'oraisa, one needs to read it from a text. And presumably that means the Sefer Torah itself. Now, the Shulchan Aruch did not discuss whether that the mitzvah can just as easily, on a fundamental level, be performed at home. If a person has a Sefer Torah at home, of course we like to do things in a minyan. And midrabanan, anything needs to be done in a minyan. But we're talking about the mitzvah on its pure de'oraisa level at this stage. And the question is, what we all know, that we go to shul and we hear Zohar and it's part of the leining, but Tzibur, is that integral? Is that critical to the performance of the mitzvah on a Torah level? No one has spoken about it yet. The Tosfos didn't mention whether it needs to be Tzibur, they just said one needs to read it from a Sefer Torah. However, the opinion of the Rosh certainly seems to be that not only is the essential mitzvah on a Torah level to read it from the Torah, but to read it with a minyan. Ad kedei kach. And he goes out of his way to say that whereas everything else, the requirement of a minyan is drabanon, but when it comes to zohar, the requirement of a minyan is min haTorah. And the question once again is, why would this be? Where would this come from? The Torah said zohar. We've identified that it needs to be from a sefer, zikaron basefer. How do we know that it needs to be betzibur? Where would that come from? And this question is discussed by the Keren Ora, Rabbi Yitzhak Mikarlin, in his Perush Keren Ora to Maseches Brachos, and he prefaces by raising another very important question. Namely, we've spoken about two of the mitzvahs that relate to Amalek, remembering and not forgetting, Zachor and Lo Tishkach. There is, of course, a third mitzvah, namely Timcha Esecher Amalek, to when the time comes to destroy Amalek. And the question, of course, is there, and if there is, what is the connection between the remembering of Amalek and the projected destroying of Amalek? Of course, they sound connected, but what exactly is the nature of the connection? For there are those who are of the opinion that the very essence of the mitzvah of remembering is in order to maintain a consciousness of that antagonism. So when the time comes, Timche Esecher Amalek. That is to say, although it is a separate mitzvah of Taryag, but nonetheless, it has the relationship of precipitating and preparing the way for Timche Esecher Amalek. We should know, moreover, not only do some authorities see these as being very much connected, But there are a number of Rishonim, the Yireim and the Balalochas Gedolos, who actually do not list remembering Amalek at all on a Torah level. It is not one of the Tariq mitzvahs. The only mitzvah that they mention as one of Tariq is Timcha es Zecher Amalek. And of course the question is, how is it possible not to list Zachor? The Torah says Zachor. The Torah says Lo Tishkach. That's an interesting mitzvah not to remember, to put into the Tariq mitzvahs. How can it be? Says Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo in his commentary to the Sefer Mitzvahs of Rav Sadia Gaon, it is clear that these Rishonim, the Yireim, Balalochos Gedolos, Balalochos Gedolos from the Gaonim, they understand that the whole Mahus, the be-all and end-all of remembering Amalek, is in order to fulfill Timcha Secher Amalek, to the extent that ultimately there is only one mitzvah, Timcha Secher Amalek. Everything else that is said is a lead up to that mitzvah. As surely as one bakes matzahs in order to eat them and builds a sukkah in order to dwell there, one remembers Amalek in order to fulfill Timcha Secher Amalek, and therefore they go so far as to codify no more than one mitzvah. Even though the Rambam, as we've noted, and the Sefer HaChinuch and others do understand that Zachor and Lo Tishkach are separate mitzvahs of Taryag, nonetheless, the point remains that they are very much connected to Timcha Secher Amalek, and that's the intuition. And therefore, the question of what is the setting, what is the context for Timcha Secher Amalek, which we began to speak about last week, even as we spoke of the war in the time of Mordechai and Esther, which was between Bnei Yisrael and Amalek. Was that a fulfillment of Timcha Secher Amalek to the extent that Milchama Lashem Ba'Amalek? And specifically, the question is, certain mitzvahs devolve on the individual in all places and all times, and certain mitzvahs devolve on a tzibur. It's a Jewish people mitzvah. To appoint a king, for example, is a mitzvah on the tzibur. It's not a mitzvah on any particular individual. What about Mechias Amalek? Is that something that any individual, should the situation arise? Well, opinions differ on this, but the position of the Rambam is, and he notes this explicitly, that the mitzvah of Timcha Secher Amalek is a mitzvah on the tzibur. It will be a communal conflict involving the tzibur of the Jewish people against Amalek. Therefore, says the Keren Ora, if we understand that the mitzvah of Zachor is a build-up, so to speak, significantly, if not exclusively, to the mitzvah of Timcha Secher Amalek, and Timcha Secher Amalek is one of those mitzvahs that devolves upon the tzibur specifically, that is how we can understand that the mitzvah of Zachor, which is the preparation for that, also devolves upon the tzibur specifically. And that takes the form of Zachor in a minyan, and no less. And this could be perhaps the background to the position of the Rosh, that the basic mitzvah on a Torah level requires not only reading from a Torah, but reading on the Torah b'tzibur, in preparation for the mitzvah on the tzibur of Timcha es Zecher Amalek. With regards to the position of the Rosh, again, that it seems, from the words of the Rosh, that on a Din Torah level, one needs a minyan to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachor, this was the background to a famous ruling of the Trumas HaDeshen, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, where he records a question, and what's interesting about the Trumas HaDeshen is that it's Shelis and Shubas, but he wrote the questions also, because these were matters that he felt were very important for people to know, and therefore he wrote them as Shelis and Shubas. So the Shaila is, and this is in Simon Kufches, people, of course, in outlying communities, and they didn't really have a minyan, perhaps, you know, Echad Meir, Shnai Mimishbacha, one here, one there. So they would make their way to the bigger towns for Purim. And, of course, to hear the Megillah, it was a minyan, Pesumei Nisa, and it's one of the highlights of the year. And the question within the Trumas HaDeshen is, should one make it their business to be in the city where there'll be a minyan earlier than Purim? That is to say, to increase the amount of time they'll be there to include Zachor beforehand. Is that something that should be done? So it's an innocent enough question, but the answer of the Trumas HaDeshen is, having mentioned, should one be in town for Zohar, says the Truma Sadeshen, yes, absolutely, and not only yes, but he maintains that there is more of a requirement to be in town for Zohar than there is to be in town for Purim. And the reason why, if one had to choose, hopefully one doesn't have to, but if one had to choose, is because, says the Truma Sadeshen, Pursume Nisar is certainly a key element in the reading of the Megillah, but there's no question that a person fulfills the basic mitzvah if they read at home, the basic mitzvah. Whereas when it comes to Zohar, says the Truma Sadeshen, do we not know that the position of the Rosh is that without a minyan, even the basic mitzvah a person does not fulfill? And therefore, if you had to choose, if you could only be there either for Zohar or for Purim, which is that at some point during the week, choose Zohar and read the Megillah at home. Ad kedei kach. However, we should note that there are those who dispute this understanding of the Rosh entirely. That is to say, that the Rosh meant to say that on a Torah level one needs a minyan. The Mishneh Berurah and others are of the understanding that what the Rosh meant to say is that the Rabbanon required you to have a minyan for this Torah mitzvah of Zachor, in which case the position of the Rosh doesn't really seem to be that different ultimately than Tosfos. Reading it is min haTorah, and the minyan is Derabbanan. But the Rabbanan did require a minyan. Certainly on a Derabbanan level, one needs to hear it bitzibur. And what's fascinating is there's an aspect of this mitzvah that could go unnoticed. Namely, the form that the Rabbanan gave to the mitzvah of Zachor is when one reads from the Torah, it should be read bitzibur within the context of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, as we know, the Rabbanon often supply something else when it comes to a Torah mitzvah. Namely, every mitzvah, as a rule, has a bracha. So let's ask a simple question. We never find a bracha on Zachor. We never find Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvah V'tzivonu Lizkor, is Masi Amalek, or whatever the nusach would be. But it is a mitzvah of Taryag, for those who codify it, which is the Rambam, Chinuch, and more. So why is there no mitzvah? That's a good shaila. The answer is as good as the question. The Turei Zahav in Siman Tafresh Behei says, there is a bracha on Zachor. It's the bracha of the one who gets maftir for Zachor. His bracha before the laning is a bracha on the mitzvah of Zachor. Now, if we should ask the question, well, it doesn't sound like a bracha on Zachor. It sounds a lot like anyone who gets an aliyah to the Torah makes the same bracha. Asher bracha bonu mikol ha'amim. Say the Mefarshim, yes, because when the Rabbanan gave this mitzvah the form of reading from the Torah b'tzibur, because it has the form of Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, so then it gets the normal bracha that one makes on reading the Torah b'tzibur. But we need to understand and be aware that this bracha of Asher Bracha Bonu once a year has a different character entirely than every other bracha on laning. Every other bracha on laning is a bracha on the mitzvah derabbanan of Kriyas HaTorah. This bracha on laning is a bracha on the mitzvah de'oraisa of remembering Amalek. And the ramifications are very direct. Everyone has a mitzvah to remember Amalek, and everyone has a mitzvah to make a bracha on that mitzvah. And therefore, as we know, and so it should be, a hush descends upon the shul. Anyone who's a potential noisemaker is removed from the premises, and it's a very focused moment of Zachor. Everyone follows word for word, and so they should. They need the chazan to be motzi them, because if everyone has a mitzvah, then the chazan is actually motzi everyone else. We should not forget, says the Turei Zahav, that he also needs, whoever is the Ola LaTorah, needs to have in mind to be motzi them in the brachos. Because as surely as everyone has the mitzvah, everyone has the mitzvah to make a bracha on the mitzvah. And therefore, the shomea ka'oned dynamic of being yotzei through the one who's talking is not only the balkari who's reading, but the ole latoru who's making the brachas. He should have that in mind, that tzibur should have in mind to be yotzei, as surely as the balkari makes brachas on the Megillah. And we listen to them on a yotzei in those brachas. So far, everyone we have seen understands that the basic mitzvah, and we've really only spoken about the basic mitzvah on a Torah level, takes the form of reading from the Torah. And the Rabbanan added, b'tzibur, specifically. However, it seems very clear that this is not a position unanimously held amongst the Rishonim, and we need to be aware of it for the in the interests of full understanding, broader understanding. The Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, the Ramban, when they discuss the mitzvah, do not discuss it in terms of reading from the Torah. They discuss it in terms of talking about it, speaking about it. Not just to think about it, one needs to speak about it, but nonetheless, each one in their own context, the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tafresh Gimel, the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Kuf Pei Tes, and in Hilchus Melochim in the Mishnah Torah, Perik Hei Halacha Hei, in all of those three places, and the Ramban in the end of Parshas Ki Seitzei, say one needs to talk about it, to remember it, to discuss it, and tell others, and etc. and so forth, but there is no mention at all within the basic formulation of the Torah Mitzvah of reading about it from a Sefer Torah, and certainly no specific text. And, of course, everyone has Zohar. The Rambam talks about Shabbos Zohar, but that's in Hilchus Kriyas HaTorah, along with Parshas Parah and Shkolim and HaChodesh. But the basic mitzvah is to talk about it, each one in their own way and in their own setting. That said, we must mention the Rambam and others, that position, but the Shulchan Aruch, we've already noted, has ruled like Tosfos, namely that the reading from the Torah is the way the mitzvah is to be fulfilled. Now, another very interesting question that was sparked from this issue of how connected is the remembering to the war with Amalek. The question came up because, as we've mentioned, the Trumas HaDeshen had this landmark psak whereby if you have to choose, it's either going to be Zohar or Purim, you've got to choose Zohar. And he concludes by saying, but people don't do this. Everyone comes for Purim and not everyone comes for Zohar, which he's talking about the villagers of his time. And clearly he means to imply, and that's not correct. But the Magen Avraham enters the breach. And the Magen Avraham says, I will explain to you why it is justifiable that people choose Purim over Zohar. And I agree with everything the Trumas HaDeshen said. I agree that you need a minyan and for Zohar, and I agree to all of that, and still I will justify that people chose Purim. Why? Because, says the Magen Avraham, on a Torah level, what do you need? You need to read about Amalek from the Torah, and you need a minyan, says the Magen Avraham. You have that on Purim. Purim morning, we read Vayavu Amalek. We don't read Zohar, but Zohar says, remember Amalek. And in Vayavu Amalek, we remember Amalek. And it's from a Sefer Torah, and it's with a minyan. And of course, all things being equal, one should be in shul for Zohar and for Purim, of course. But for those that can't, should you say that they need to give precedence to the Torah mitzvah of Zohar, on a Torah level, they've got it on Purim morning. So that's his defense of Minag Yisrael, to the extent of what we call it a minag, the people that would choose Purim over Zohar. However, the Mishnah Brura has strong reservations with regards to this psak of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham has said that if need be, one can fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar with Vayavu Amalek, the laning of Purim morning. Says the Mishnah Brura, I have my doubts. And the reason why is because if you look in Zohar and what the Torah tells you to remember, much of that is actually missing from the Torah's description of the war. The Torah's description of the war is one pasuk long. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilochem im Yisrael berefidim. Amalek came and waged war. What were the circumstances? What was their motivation? What was their agenda? Doesn't talk about it at the time. But later on, at the end of Kiseitze, in Zohar, it talks about all of that. Asher korcha baderech. They ambushed you. Vayizanev b'cha. They attacked you from behind. Vatayefi ageya. You were weak and hungry. V'lo yirei Elokim. And they're fundamentally not God-fearing people. None of that is present. And it sounds like that's what the Torah wants you to remember. The background and the fuller picture. And moreover, says the Mishnah Brura, it is only Zohar that concludes with the directive of Timcha Zecher Amalek. And if the mitzvah of remembering is in order to remember to Timcha Zecher Amalek, so that you only have in Zohar itself, but not in the end of Parshas B'Shalach. And for these two reasons, the Mishnah Brura is hesitant with regards to this psak of the Magen Avraham. It could be that Vayavo Amalek on Purim morning would not cut it on a Torah level. Perhaps you really need to remember it the way the Torah describes it in the end of Zohar. So what's interesting is, on the one hand, it seems to touch on the question as to, once again, the connection between Zohar and the war. And perhaps the Mogen Avraham understands that Zohar is a self-contained mitzvah, and even if you don't have the ending of Timcha Secher Amalek, but the main thing is to remember for itself the war with Amalek, which you have in Purim morning. But the second point that the Mishnah Berurah mentioned is also self-contained, even within Zohar, to remember how, the details and the background and Ashakarcha Baderach and all of that, even in terms of Maisei Amalek itself, would be missing from Purim morning, and perhaps that's a significant enough objection for the Psak of the Mogen Avraham. Now, with regards to the time of the mitzvah, once again, on a Torah level we begin. When does it happen? The Torah said Zachor. Well, each mitzvah has a specific time, as we know. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. Remembering Shabbos on Shabbos, certainly within the form of Kiddush, Zachor v'Shamor. What about Zachor Eis Asher Asalacha Amalek? When does that happen on a Torah level? And here, we have explicit words, once again, from the Rambam. The Rambam says a person needs to remember this constantly. His words in the Sefer Mitzvahs are Bechol Eis Va'Eis, every opportunity. His words in the Mishnah Torah are Liskor Tomid, to remember the whole time, which Mefarshim translate operationally to mean on a daily basis. Now, what's very interesting here, interesting and important, is this seems to be very much in keeping with the Rambam, who on a Torah level, you don't need to say for Torah. You just need to talk about it. So it's much less is required, but it's required much more often, every day. And I think it's worthwhile mentioning, certainly to raise the point, that we say that we are more stringent than the Rambam, in the sense that the Rambam doesn't require a Sefer Torah for the mitzvah, but we do. But on the other hand, we may end up being more lenient than the Rambam, because we only read it from the Sefer Torah once a year. Whereas for the Rambam, it's true that he doesn't require a Sefer Torah, but one needs to talk about it every day. And there's certainly room to suggest, when it comes to Zohar, there are many Hidurim, as we know. People are very medactic with each and every word, and so they should be. There's the famous discussion of whether it's Timche es Zecher Amalek, Timche es Zecher Amalek, and there's a whole literature around that. The word, of course, is Zecher, remembrance, but in the construct form, remembrance of, so perhaps Zecher becomes Zecher. Zecher Amalek. And it's recorded in the Maaseh Rav that Maaseh Rav, it's a construct, but the Vilna Gaon, he would read Timche es Zecher Amalek. He held that the correct construct form is not Zecher, but Zecher. Interestingly, we should know, according to the Vilna Gaon, that's equally true in Ashrei every day. Zecher Rav Tuv Chaya Biyu, because it's the remembrance of Rav Tuv Chaya Biyu. When it comes to Ashrei, we're less, for obvious reasons, we don't read it twice or anything, but for the Gaon, it's not reading it twice. That's the way it should be read. But we read Zecher, but when it comes to Timcha Zecher Amalek, so the Mishnah Berurah says, it is correct to read it both, Zecher Amalek, and then Zecher Amalek. And then there arises the question, well, how does one read both? There are those who have the minhag, that they read the final pasuk twice, that is to say, the first time round with Zecher Amalek, the second time round Zecher Amalek. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Moshe Feinstein are of the opinion that it's quite sufficient to repeat that phrase within the pasuk. That's entirely adequate. Timche Zecher Amalek, and then to go back, Timche Zecher Amalek, not necessarily to repeat the entire pasuk. But these are hidurim and dikdukim within Zohar, as we know. Additionally, people are quite makbid to hear Zohar in their havara. That is to say, the way they are accustomed, the masoros that they receive from their parents as to how to read Lashon HaKodesh. Perhaps they're more lenient to the rest of the year if it's not exactly consonant with the way that they are pronouncing when it comes to Zohar. And some people, some kehilos, actually read Zohar more than once in different havarot. Havara Ashkenazit, Sfaradit, Temanit, and so on and so forth. All of these are hidurim, and there's a place for all of them. It's a mitzvah that comes, well, Zohar comes once a year, and it's done really behidur rav. There is room to say that an additional hidur in the mitzvah of Zohar is to remember the opinion of the Rambam, that one should talk about it every day. Because that means that instead of doing it once a year from a Sefer Torah and missing out 364 days, so at the very least there's a hidur to talk about it, and it's one of the Sheis Zechiros at the end of the Siddur. If one says those Sheis Zechiros, he remembers Amalek. every day. At the very least, a heder, and according to the Rambam, that's actually part of the mitzvah min haTorah, is to at least talk about it regularly, shall we say. Now, to come back to Zohar, which once again is once a year, how does it come to be once a year? Of course, the yearly cycle of Kriyas haTorah, but the question is, on a Torah level that needs to be read from the Torah, is it also true that it needs to be read every year? Or could it be we read it every year, like we read everything every year, but on a Torah level, maybe once every 5 years or 3 years? Or where do we get the yearly requirement from? And there are those who say that it is a yearly requirement. There is a sefer called Mine Targima, written by one of the great Gedolim of the 1800s, or Yeshaya Pick Berlin. And he explains how there is a requirement on a Torah level to read Zohar once a year. Where does that come from? The Torah doesn't say once a year. It says the Mine Targima, yes. But the Torah says, don't forget. So now we need to ask the question, how long does it take a person to forget? Now, of course, that's a very open question, it seems. Depends on the person, depends forget what. But nonetheless, there does seem to be an answer to this question, and perhaps even a standardized answer to this question. And it begins with the Gemara in Maseches Brachos in Daf Nun Ches. And the Gemara there states, I mean, lo aleinu, in a very tragic setting, that if a person is bereaved, the Gemara says, Ein hames mishtakeach min alev ad yud beis chodesh. For those 12 months, so the person maintains a great consciousness of the person that they've lost. But it's true for other things as well. Because when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, and if you find an item, and you can assume the other person has given up hope, if you have reason to presume that it's been lost for more than 12 months, says Rashi, you can assume that he's given up. He's forgotten about it. And the two are connected in the Pasuk. Nishkachti, David HaMelech says, Nishkachti kemes milev, I've been forgotten from the heart, like a person who's dead, that he's bemoaning the his situation there. Hayisi kichli aved, I'm like a lost object, and the pasuk connects the two, because when it comes to this type of emotional forgetting, within a year, well, if a year goes by, a person forgets. Says the Mina Targima, and the Torah said, don't forget. Don't forget means don't allow a year to go by, that it shouldn't be. Hayisi kichli aved, maintain that remembrance. This is the famous explanation of the Mina Targima, how we get a year. One should note the Shelus and Shuvas Toras Chesed, Reb Shneur Zalman of Lublin, one of the greats of the 1800s. He quotes the Mina Targima, but he says he has reservations with regards to this explanation, if it is the explanation, for a simple reason. When the Gemara says that if something is lost, one remembers it for 12, one forgets about it after 12 months. And the implication is that within 12 months one doesn't forget about it. That is 12 months within the original event. The original event of Amalek was thousands of years ago. But if he's reminded of it within 12 months, that doesn't automatically give him another 12 months. I mean, nowhere was that said, which is a wonderful observation. Nonetheless, as the Torah says, I'm happy. If you tell me that it's 12 months because that's how it is, that's another question. But if you want to bring a proof from that pasuk, so that's my response. And this actually raises a very interesting shaila, which is nogeya, I wouldn't say halacha lemaisa, because that we're about to find out, but it's nogeya lemaisa this year. Namely, the Gemara says that a lost kli, or lo aleinu, a lost person, they stay for within the consciousness for 12 months. And they're for zachor as well. But what if you have a leap year? If you have a leap year, so an extra Adar, Shanum Uberet, so then between one Zohar and the next, it's going to be 13 months. But then it's expired before the next Zohar came along. Is that the case? And the Chasam Sofer talks about this in the Tshuvas, in the Evan Ha'ezim, in Kuf Yud Tes. And the Chasam Sofer says, amazingly, it's okay. Normally you remember something for 12 months, and in a Shanum Uberet, you remember for 13 months. Now the question is, how can that be? Why would we say that? I mean, how did your memory expand? It's Parkinson's law of remembering things. How could it expand just because there's more time to remember, not to forget? Says the Chasam Sofer, the explanation of this is actually based on what he refers to Rishonim, the Akedat Yitzchak says this. A fascinating thing, the reason why it is that it takes a year to forget about something emotionally that you lost, is because every day of those first 12 months are actually contrasted emotionally between this time last year when you had that thing and now that you don't. And therefore, that first yearly cycle, you have that contrast which breeds that consciousness. Once a year is up, once the yearly cycle has run its course, and you're in the second year from then, so then every day in the second year is actually more comparable to the first year where you also didn't have it anymore. And therefore, the contrast is less acutely felt, and that's called nishkach min halev. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, it's not an amount of time elapsed per se, 12 months. It 12 months represents the year. In a Shana Me'uberes, it's not a year plus a month. The yearly cycle takes longer, and therefore it's longer for that contrast to run its course, which means the person is considered to have remembered, if that's the source, also for 13 months. That's the famous psak of the Chasam Sofer. Don't worry, Zohar once a year, 12 months, 13 months, you're okay. Having said that, it is recorded by the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, the Maram Shik, that the Chasam Sofer himself, in the year before Eshana Me'uberet, which is actually this year, the Chasam Sofer was mechaven in Maftir of Parshas Kisetze to be yotze the mitzvah of Zohar, just to tide him over that there should be 6 months and then 7 months or whatever the breakdown is, not to go 13 months without Zohar. Even though, and once again, it's very often there is a difference between what the Gadol paskens for the public, which is essentially what one needs to do and all one needs to do, and the Hanhoga of the Gadol himself may be entirely a different story, as we know. And the moral of the story is, not everyone who the Chasam Sofer is their posek needs to be the Chasam Sofer. Nonetheless, it's become, in certain circles, it's become adopted, and it would be this year, actually, because next year is the Shana Me'uberet, so this coming Kisetze is the that fulcrum Kisetze that could be Zohar. But Ritzi Pesach Frank says, if a person is going to go this route and wishes to be Yotze in Maftir of Kisetze for Zohar, to stand between the 13 months, he needs to tell the Baal Kuri, because the Baal Kuri, in the meanwhile, may be just doing his job that he does every week, which is to read Parshas HaShavua, and as far as he's concerned, Zohar is no different than any other Maftir. And remember, when it comes to Zohar, he's got to have you in mind to be Motzi you. If he has no idea that you have this idea from what the Chasam Sofer used to do, so you may have all the Kavan in the world in his, as far as he's concerned, none of this is remains oblivious. Which is a very interesting point. So the Baal Kuri is going to have to be in on it in order for it to work as an enterprise. The alternative is to say that you are able to be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah and then add on additional mitzvahs of your own, and having commandeered what you heard and turn it into additional mitzvahs. That's highly questionable as to whether that can happen. If you're going to go that route, says the Ritzi Pesach Frank, tell the Baal Kuri. Now, to come back to Zohar B'Tzibur, there is another aspect. We've spoken about many halachic aspects of the mitzvah of Zohar, and there's much to say, and there's more to say. But to come back to the fact that we read Zohar B'Tzibur, and somehow, whether it's on a Torah level or a Drabbana level, it's a key component of the mitzvah, that Zohar. When it comes to Kaddish, which of course is the classic example, the archetypical example of something that needs a tzibur, and at the epicenter of Kaddish is Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, and that is the central pillar of the Kaddish, and the Kaddish represents what's called Dovar Shebekedusha, a matter of sanctity. Dvarim Shebekedusha need a minyan. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So we say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. What is the meaning of those words, Yehei Shemei Rabbah Mevorach? If we are basic, Aramaic, Shemei Rabbah, Hashem's great name, may it be Mevorach, may it be blessed. That's the simple translation. Interestingly, there is a comment of the Machzor Vitri, Rabbeinu Shemaya, a Talmud of Rashi. The Machzor Vitri says that the background to the meaning of Yehei Shemei Rabba Mevorach actually is not a straight line, Hashem's great name should be praised. There are two things going on. And the background actually is in the war with Amalek. Because in Parshas B'Shalach, Vayavu Amalek, the laying for Purim morning, so the final pasuk says, Vayomer, ki yod al kes ka milcham al Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. A hand on the throne of God, that means God, so to speak, is taking an oath that there's a war, this is till the end. Milcham al Hashem ba'amalek, for all generations, until it's done. And, of course, if the words that stand out in the pasuk are yod al kes ka. Kes ka means the throne of God, but of course they are truncated, those words. Kes is an abbreviation of kise, it's a shortened form of kise, and ka, of course, is a shortened form of the full name, yud ke vav ke. And Rashi makes the famous comment that as long as Amalek is in the world, so Hashem's throne is not complete and his name is not complete. Ein a kise shalem ve'ein Hashem shalem ad shi'imoche zarah shel Amalek. And the reason why is because Amalek represents the antithesis to awareness of God in the world. Amalek is asher korcha baderech, everything is about randomness, and there's no supervision, and there's no interaction. And interestingly, the name Yud and He, Ka, is a name that Amalek is not bothered by. Because the Mefarshim explained that the four letters of Yud, He, then Vav and the He represent a progressive emanation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, down to us. And specifically, the breakdown is that Yud and He are the emanations in the upper realms, and the Vav and He are the further emanations into the lower realms. Amalek have no problem with the Yud and the He. As long as God is in the heavens and we're down here, and never the twain shall meet, that's fine. It's the Vav and the He that are the problem for Amalek. And that, and as they spread their credo of godlessness in the world, that is what pitches them absolutely against the Jewish people, or against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by extension, the Jewish people. And therefore, in a sense, when we say Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach, we're saying may Hashem's name be blessed and recognized in the world, it is a statement against Amalek. And says the Machzor of Vitri, if you look at the words Yehi Shmei Rabba, the word Shmei is Shin Mem Yud He, Shmei, and Shmei means Shem Yud He. That is to say, as part of the response to Amalek, that may Hashem's name of Yud He, may it be Rabbah. May it be enlarged. May it grow back to Yud Ke Vav Ke. So Yehi Shemei Rabbah is the first request, and then Mavorach is the second request. Not, as others say, Yehi Shemei Rabbah, may Hashem's great name be blessed, but rather may Hashem's name of Yud and He be, number one, restored to its Rabbah, full Yudke Vavke, and Mevorach recognized as the source of blessing. And therefore, we understand that, and it's important to place Amalek in this context, because otherwise it's a random attack from a nation long, long ago, and for some reason we keep on talking about it, and we keep on thinking about it. Why? Because what Amalek represents is part of the battle that we face the whole time. And specifically, if Amalek represents refusing to recognize God in the world, and what the Jewish people are all about is recognizing God in this world, therefore, as surely as Yehi Shmei Rabbah is the classic Dover Shevet Kedusha, it's about spreading God's holiness in the world and it needs a minion, says the Pe'ulas Sachir, which are the explanatory notes on the further notes on the Maaseh Rav, that may be why the mitzvah of Zohar also requires a minion. It's a form of Kaddish, in the sense that remembering, in order to remember how opposed we are, how antithetical we are, how set against we are to what Amalek represents, as surely as when we say it in Kaddish, Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevorach, we need a minion. So when you remember that first episode within the context of Zohar, it's also no less a Dover Shebe Kedusha. And I came across yesterday something fascinating, which is to be found in the Sefer Haredim, Rabbi Elazar Azkari, and section 4, chapter 12, and he says, and we'll see how it all comes together. Matsasi b'tikunei Zohar, Rabbi Elazar Azkari, Talmud of the Arizal, is no stranger to the Tikkunei Zohar. Kishashliach Tzibur Omer Kaddish. When the Chazan starts to say Kaddish, Omer Matzibur, what did the Tzibur say? They say, Vayomer, Ki Yod Al Kais Ka Milchom Al Hashem Ba'amalek. And then they say, V'achakach Onin Amen Yehei Shemei Rabbah. According to the Tikkuni Zohar, the full response to Ba'agolav Zman Kariv is to begin with the pasuk about Amalek. Ki Yod Al Kais Ka Milchom Al Hashem Ba'amalek. Says the Charedim, V'chein He'idu Hasekeinim Shehayam Minag Zeh BeKastilia. And there is evidence that this was actually the minag in Castile, Spain, Bizman Harabonim Hakadolim, Rabbi Yitzhak Abuav, and Rabbi Yitzhak Dilion, V'chein HaMinag Gam Hayom Bimkomos Harbeh. And there are many places that yet have this minag. It's an amazing minag, because it is a full expression of the fact that Yehi Shmei Rabbah is a direct response to Amalek. Amalek is Gyal Al Kais Ka, Yehi Shmei Rabbah, Mevorach. And certainly we understand that there's a specific conflict here, which really is Midor Dor, about recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world and Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevorach. Having said all this, there is an aspect of Zachor which is also, in the full picture, central. And it's to be found in the Pirkei de Belezer. Pirkei de Belezer is one of the oldest collections of Midrashim that we have. And it has something quite surprising to say about Zachor. And this is in Perek Mem Dalet. So it discusses Amalek and the war. And then it says, Achar Arba'im Shana. 40 years had passed since the war with Amalek, which is when they first came out of Mitzrayim. Ratza Moshe lahazkir li Yisrael velomar lahem. So Moshe wanted to remind the Jewish people and say to them, Zochrim atem she'amartem bamidbar hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. In the end towards the end of Parshas Beshalach, we came to a place called Rephidim, later on named Masa Umariva, and it was a low point for us, the Jewish people, because Bnei Yisrael doubted whether Hashem would give them water. They were in the middle of nowhere, which is brought here to die. And Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. Is Hashem really with us? Is He amongst us? Is He going to take care of us? And that those are the words that are immediately before Vayavu Amalek. And the point is that precipitated Vayavu Amalek. It was a very negative time for Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe, within the context of Sefer Devarim, wants to talk about it. Remember when you said that. Remember when you did everything else. Ella, Omar Moshe. But Moshe said, Imani Omer li Yisrael kein, Hare ani megale es peneihem. If I say that to the Jewish people, directly like that, remember, you doubted God was amongst you, ani megale es peneihem, I will reveal their weakness, their embarrassment, their shame. Person who embarrasses someone, who shames someone else, has no chelik. It's amazing that this was a concern. I mean, certainly we would call this within the context of a mitzvah. It's Moshe to the Bnei Yisrael. And moreover, there are so many other things that he spoke very explicitly about, the eagle and the meraglim, and each one in its time. He spoke about them openly because they had to be spoken about openly. But there's something about this, that formula, Vayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, it's such a low point for Bnei Yisrael, and he can't bring himself to chastise them about it directly. So what are you going to do, not talk about it? In the interest of not making anyone feel uncomfortable, it needs to be learned from. Ella, says the Pirkei de Belezer, Ani omer lehem ma'aseh Amalek. I'll tell them to remember what happened with Amalek. V'hem mevinim ma shekatuv lefana. They'll remember the context. They'll remember that. That will put them in mind of what we said before. When I tell them to remember Amalek, I hope they'll be listening. They'll be alert to what I mean. When I say remember what Amalek did, that's my way of saying remember what you did that empowered Amalek. because if Amalek represents Asher Korcha and randomness and no interaction and no supervision, Amalek were able to attack you because you gave them that in. You opened the door for them. You said, Ayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am ayin. If you begin to talk in that way, so that's Amalek's specialty, and you give them power over you. And therefore, when I say remember Amalek, it's a polite way of saying, remember you. Like they say when whatever she says to her daughter-in-law, she really means her daughter. But you hope they're listening. Moshe l'mahadavadomer, says the Pirkei Avot. It's an amazing moshel. It's a whole new dimension into Zohar, really. L'melech, shayalu pardes echad. A king, he had a certain orchard, and he didn't want people to be taken from it. V'kashar ha-melech l'petach ha-pardes kelev, and therefore, he tied a guard dog to the entrance. V'ha-melech yoshev ba'aliyoso, tsofe u'mabit, kol mashib ha-pardes. And then he retires to his palace, and he looks out to see what will happen. Nichnas ohavo shel melech, one of the king's friends, went into to the orchard. Lignov min apardes. Veshisa bo kelev, and of course the dog saw him, attacked him. Vekara big day ov, and he ripped his clothing. Now something has to be done. Amar hamelech. Im omar le ohavi, lam nichnas le pardes. If am I going to confront? He's my friend. He did something wrong. We have to talk about it. What am I going to say? Why did you steal from me in my orchard? Hari ani megale espanov. I will expose his weakness in a way that will be unbearable. So you know what I'll do? Ela hari ani omelo. What I will say to him when I see him is, Hari isa oso kelev shote. Did you see my crazy dog? Heyach karas begadecha. Look what he did. How did that happen? I mean, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. Which is a nice way of saying you shouldn't be stealing from my orchard. V'lo haya mevin shata huvi, what, the dog doesn't know that you're my friend. This is really most regrettable. U'miyad hu mevin masha asa. The friend will get the message. So this is really something. Because it takes the parsha of Zohar, it's no longer purely about them, the enemy, Amalek. Why do they attack us? Because we don't know. We should know. Because pending the ultimate war with Amalek, there's plenty to learn about ourselves. Midor dor. And the truth of the matter is, this ties in to another motif that preceded the war with Amalek. The words in the Pasuk are, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. Is Hashem with us? Does he care about us? There's another aspect that empowered Amalek. The name of the place, Rephidim. Vayavo Amalek. Vayilachim im Yisrael b'Rephidim. The Mechilta says Rephidim. The place has already been renamed Masa Umariva. But the Torah goes back to say that the war took place in Rephidim. Why? Says the Mechilta, Rephidim is a contracted form. It's an acronym for Rifyon Yadayim. The Jewish people, their involvement in Torah and mitzvahs was berifon yodayim, weak, rafui. And that also empowered Amalek. The question is, what is the connection between Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu and rifon yodayim? Are those two separate things? We understand that they are really two ways of expressing the same thing. One really isn't a practical expression of the other. Because the things that a person lays most emphasis on, and the things that a person puts most focus on, are the things in which they perceive the way to get ahead in life. There may be other things they need to do, but they're not going to do them wholeheartedly if they perceive them as obligations per se. Part of the world view of Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin, if Hashem really isn't amongst us and doesn't so much care about us, so then there will be a reciprocal apathy and ambivalence with regard to the things that he's told us to do. We don't want to not do them, but will we take hold of them and hold fast? You hold fast to things that are your pathway to success. If Hashem is amongst you in this world, your pathway to success in this world is taking hold of the things that he's told you to do. The best Torah person you are, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look out for you in this world. But if Hashem isn't bekirbeinu in this world, so the mitzvahs that he did are things that we'll do while we are getting ahead in life by doing other things. And therefore there's a direct line between Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu as that question and Rifyon Yadayim. And all of this leads to Amalek. It's interesting. Mordechai is referred to as Ish Yemini. And Ish Yemini means, first and foremost, that he's from Binyamin. But of course, Ish Yemini means that he's from the Yemin. What does that mean? The Talmud tells us in Masechah Shabbos, when we say Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba, the Torah gives life L'machazikim Ba, it means L'maiminim Ba, to people who approach Torah with the right hand. And not L'masmilim Ba, not with the left hand. And what does that mean? Of course, assuming the person is right-handed, so Rashi explains the right hand is one's strength. That's whatever one holds with the right hand is what one holds dear. And with the left hand are things, the other things, the peripheral items. And therefore, L'machazikim Ba, for these that really hold on to Torah strongly, is L'maiminim Ba. And to those that hold on to the Torah with the right hand, it's Eitz Chaim, it gives them life. For people that hold on to the Torah with their left hand, it could wear them down. It could weigh them down. That they don't perceive it as giving them life. They don't perceive it as taking them forward. And of course, as we've mentioned on other occasions, this was essentially the problem with the root of the problem with Bnei Yisrael, with the Jewish people at the time of Achashverosh. They had relinquished Torah and mitzvahs as the thing that will take them forward in life. And perhaps there are other things that will take them forward in life. If Achashverosh's feast is the way to get ahead in life, so even if the food isn't exactly so kosher, but what can we do? Because we go to the Suda with our right hand, and the right hand is stronger than the left hand, and the left hand is holding on to kashrus, but there will be, one will prevail, and what will prevail is the thing that we perceive will get us ahead in life. And therefore, a great deal of what Mordechai needs to do is to disavow the Jews of this vision that the way to get ahead in life is what seems to be the temporal vision. And Torah and mitzvahs may run the risk of coming second. But rather, says Mordechai, if you want to get out of the situation, remember, Yesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, you've got to take hold of Torah and mitzvahs with your right hand. And the other things, it doesn't mean you relinquish them, but the other things you do with your left hand. Mordechai is called Ish Yemini. He is a person of the Yemin. He is right-handed. That is to say, he spreads the message of taking hold of Torah with the Yamin in order to draw life from it. And of course, Ledoros, that's what happened. The salvation of the Jewish people is following the path of Mordechai. As we've noted, Rabbi Eliezer Lapian says, it's important to appreciate, the heroes of the story of Purim were the Jewish people. That is to say, of course, the two personalities at the helm were Mordechai and Esther. But we should never ignore the heroic decision of the Jewish people to fundamentally change the way they look at how they can get out of their situation. Because all things being equal in terms of the left-handed vision of the world, Mordechai is the problem. He's not the solution. Mordechai is agitating Haman politically. Haman is close to Achashverosh. That means Mordechai is the one who is getting them in trouble. For Mordechai to stand there, Ish Yemini, and say to them, not only am I not the problem for what I'm doing right now, you are the problem for what you did 9 years ago, that I'm the solution. You need to follow me and do exactly what I say. And it was a time where there was only one right answer. You couldn't afford to get it wrong. And the Jewish people, as a people, said, if we have to decide, we need to throw away what seems to be the correct interpretation in linear terms that Mordechai is the source of all of our problems. He's the head of the Sanhedrin. He's Mordechai. We need to rethink things because we're in trouble and we only have one chance to get it right. And they followed Mordechai. The Jewish people are the heroes of the story of Purim. And that really is the legacy of Purim Ledoros. As we talk about seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, the more we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, Megillas Esther, to reveal that which is hidden, not only in the story of Purim, but from then, Midor Dor, the more we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being in the world, in charge of the world, running the world, the more we take hold of the way that he's told us to live life with the right hand and to be Ish Yemini. I wish you all a Freilich HaPurim. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll meet again in 2 weeks' time.